Hello, I'm Luis Hernandez, and welcome to the Florida Roundup on WLRN. Well, there's been a lot of talk in recent years about the severity of king tides and how rising seas due to climate change will mean the regularity and severity of these tides just are going to get worse over the decades. Now, that's likely not until like 2060, 2070, and maybe most of us won't be around for that. But if you live in South Florida and not necessarily near the coast, you've likely experienced the severity of king tides. And you're thinking, wait a minute, this is seasonal now and it's a pain. Imagine that happening many times a year. Would you still want to live in South Florida? Are you thinking about leaving? And it's not just the Sunshine State. This is happening around the country. Boston planners are talking about a harbor barrier in the next few decades. San Francisco already telling developers, you got to think about projects in the future, 50, 60 years from now, and how you're going to deal with it. Well, earlier this week, many parts of South Florida, again, impacted by king tide. In Fort Lauderdale, Vice Mayor Dean Tentralis got a close-up look.
And that sidewalk is disappearing every minute that we stand here and speak.
And U.S. Congressman Ted Deutsch paid a visit, also got a glimpse.
It affects our economy. It affects our community. We have to take action. Local officials are acting. Federal government needs to play a role as well.
And he seemed surprised by the fact that it was a perfectly clear day when this was happening.
The standing in this water on a beautiful South Florida morning doesn't tell us that it's time we start investing in environmental infrastructure to protect our communities, then I don't think anything will.
All right. Is your community impacted by king tide? Has it made you think a little bit about the idea of maybe not living near the coast or moving somewhere else? We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call, 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. You can also tweet us at WLRN. Find us on Facebook. Our Facebook group is facebook.com/group/The Florida Roundup. Joining me in studio right now, WLRN reporter Kate Stein, who's been covering this issue quite a bit. Kate, welcome.
Thank you.
Also joining us from the Doral Studios at the Miami Herald, Jenny Stiletovich. Jenny, welcome back.
Thank you.
And Dr. Jennifer Gerardo is the Broward County's Chief Climate Resiliency Officer. Dr. Gerardo, a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
All right. You know what, Dr. Gerardo, let me start with you real quickly. I've noticed in researching this that your position, resiliency officer, is kind of a new job that's been popping up in coastal cities around the country. I wanted to get a sense of, in this very short time that you've been doing it, what have you learned about what your job entails?
Well, I think the most significant thing is that it requires broad participation. Clearly, the resiliency of our community doesn't sit with a single individual, but it's about trying to bring information to the various sectors and agencies and community partners, public, private, that are all engaged in investments and planning for the community, and figure out how we're going to best address all of the resiliency components. We talk a lot about sea level rise and tidal flooding, but there are many other considerations as you think about climate change impacts. And that need, I think, has been underscored much through the efforts of the Rockefeller Foundation and the establishment of the 100 Resilient Cities program that's really intending to elevate resiliency in the way that we plan for the future and organize resources for future conditions.
But do people look at you and say, you're the one who's supposed to help solve this problem?
Well, they would probably be disappointed if they were going to just rely upon me. I think that the resiliency officer is a good individual to help bring together all the various facets and as part of strategic planning and ensure that all the individuals who are at critical junctures making important decisions, whether it's planning, regulatory, budgetary, relating to insurance or community health, that all of those individuals are armed with the right information and that our plans and our efforts are aligned. So, again, I think the resiliency officer is really key to helping ensure the coordination and that everyone has the right level of information and that we're moving forward with a strategic and aggressive plan. But it's going to take a very vast community to be effective on this issue.
I'm glad you said that, this vast community. And I can't imagine that trying to solve these issues. And as I said in the intro, I've been looking around at other cities and how they're dealing with this, and looking at photos from the Boston Globe as an example. People walking around near, near the water, and the king tide is affecting them just like it is here in South Florida. They're talking about how they're going to deal with that in the next 50 years. But I'm curious as to, when you talk about communities, are you just relying on what the city of Fort Lauderdale, the county of Broward County, is going to do to help fix this? Or do you have to lean on the state? Do you have to lean on the federal government to help you deal with this?
Well, absolutely. Broward County just entered into a partnership agreement with the Army Corps of Engineers to undertake a combined analysis of sea level rise, high tides, and high frequency storm surge, and began to really look at some very specific scenarios as the basis for setting resiliency standards for infrastructure. So the a very strong demonstration that we need the expertise of the Army Corps. A lot of the projects that ultimately need to be advanced will have to address infrastructure that is in the state and federal purview. So absolutely.
But what about cost? What I'm getting at is cost. In other words, who's really going to have to pay for this? Is it more on the community or the state or the federal government?
I think it's combined. The state makes investments. We want to make sure that those investments are geared towards resiliency. We would like to see and need to see funding come to those projects. But right now, those resources clearly are not there. Many cities have been relying upon their existing resources. Some projects have been advanced through some FEMA relief from historical flooding, but right now there is not an adequate organization of financial resources to undertake the infrastructure investments that are needed.
All right. Again, the number is 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. And I want to hear from you if you live in an area that's been impacted by King Tide. And I don't. I live in Kendall. I live more inland. I don't feel it as much. I just see the pictures and I can't imagine. But I want to hear from you if you are impacted by this and how's that changed your life or maybe even your thinking on living in such a beautiful area. Real quickly, I'm going to come to my other guests here, Kate and Jenny. I want to ask you both because you've seen it more up close, but I want to get a sense of what you're seeing, what you're experiencing, and what you hear from people. Kate, let me start with you. I mean, and we joked about this before. You're from Wisconsin, so this is a little new for you as well. But, what did you think? What did you see exactly that really kind of blew your mind?
Yeah, so I am from Wisconsin, recent transplant. And I think, I got up, especially last week, last Friday, Saturday, I got up and went down my street, Northwest 7th Avenue, and was just really surprised to see all of a sudden all this water. We had like 6 inches of water, 8 inches of water at the intersection of, I think, 7th Avenue and 6th Street. And it really, for me, coming from a place where we don't really see climate change in the same way, it kind of made me realize, oh, this is what climate change looks like. With the king tides and the higher water levels. And I don't know, it was pretty eye-opening. And then this week I've been reporting in Miami Beach, talking with business owners in the Sunset Harbor neighborhood. The Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce put on an event that is kind of a way for business owners to get educated about what they need to do to make their businesses resilient against not only king tides, but rising sea levels, 10, 20, 30 years down the road. Because despite the pumps that they're putting in and the new seawalls, Miami Beach is kind of already realizing that they're maybe not adequate for the water level rise.
And it's not just the flooding that's impacting them, but it's all this work we have to do in the resiliency that's impacting their business as well. That's what I heard them say.
Right. So I talked to a couple of business owners who said that because of construction, there have been business owners and the city have said because of construction, there have been times when the pumps have not been switched to the correct mode or whatever. They've been switched to drain the construction sites as is required. But then there have been these heavy rainstorms in the past couple of weeks. And so having the pumps switched over plus the heavy rain has led to some flooding, especially in that Sunset Harbor neighborhood.
Jenny, I was reading some of your stories, and one of them had this amazing video. Well, I shouldn't say it was disturbing in that there were folks at a park, at a beach, running to their car in a parking lot that had just, the king tide had come in, and their cars are now almost underwater. The water's up near the door. But I mean, you know, what are some of the things you've seen, you know, and how king tide is impacting communities?
Well, that picture, or that video, was from Matheson Hammock Park down south of Coral Gables, and it's a low-lying area. I mean, it floods pretty easily, but I think the dramatic flooding in recent years is really getting people's attention. That video was sent by a man who's visited that park for 60 years. He said he treated it like a backyard pool, and set out a camera to do a time-lapse video and said he'd never seen anything like it before. I think in the last few years, people now are getting used to these seasonal tides. I mean, it's a regular occurrence. But for those of us, I mean, unlike Kate, I grew up here. I was born here. I lived in a house on a canal in Fort Lauderdale. And every year I'm kind of surprised at how the water comes up into the, you know, my mom's backyard now. That didn't used to happen. So those, you know, it's surprising how quickly it happened.
You know, what I want to get the sense to is really, what are we doing to start preparing for it? Because as I mentioned in the intro again, too, that really, again, king tide's not caused by climate change. It's just when the earth, moon, and sun align, king tides roll in, and usually those tides are a couple feet higher than usual. But it's a reminder that as the sea level does rise, these are going to become more of a regular occurrence. And so it's I hear from people that it's such a pain in the neck when it's happening. So imagine that happening a dozen times or more a year. But really, I want to get a sense of, what are we doing to prepare for that? And as I said, I'd read that other cities are already looking at plans, thinking 50, 60, 70 years down the road. You know, Jenny, have you heard about what the city of Miami, Miami Beach, what are they thinking they're going to have to do to protect the city? Is it just the pumps? Is that enough?
Well, no, there's a combination of things, and Jennifer could certainly speak to this. They're in Fort Lauderdale, I think they're talking about raising seawalls in Miami Beach along Indian Creek. They're raising the road. There's a $25 million project now. The state and the city are sharing the costs on that. So they have a combination of things that they're doing. I think maybe from where I sit anyway, it seems like the biggest challenge has been getting money. This is a kind of a slow moving catastrophe, so it's hard to.
And where's that money supposed to come from?
Well, I think you divide up the responsibility. I mean, it's like any other kind of huge public works project.
Let me just say it as it is then, because, you know, that's why I asked about this. What role does the state play? What role does the federal government play? Because you have a governor and an administration in Tallahassee that doesn't want to talk about this issue of climate change. And again, these are king tides, but they don't want to talk about that issue. That's got to make it challenging.
It is, but I think some of those agencies, like the South Florida Water Management District, which you know, handles all our flood control, they're addressing sea rise. They've got a bunch of pumps that are old and need to be updated, and I believe they have. I'm sorry, I can't tell you right now the specific amount or what they're doing, but I know that they are looking at those pumps. Florida Department of Transportation road issues. I mean, I think they are being addressed. It may not be as fast as everybody wants, and it also I think it's a more recent development. I think a lot of attention has been brought to this issue in the last year. And again, Jennifer has, I think she's probably one of the first resiliency officers hired down here, so she's been plugging away at it. But Miami recently hired one last year. The county hired.
And Miami Beach has one. Real quickly, Dr. Gerardo, what can you tell me about what Fort Lauderdale, what Broward County's doing to prepare, whether it's in the next few years or decades from now?
Well, the city of Fort Lauderdale is undertaking a very comprehensive stormwater improvement plan that formally integrates sea level rise into the design criteria. They've been very aggressive, as have been many of the other cities, in installing one-way valves on the stormwater system to prevent backflow. We see a lot of additional pump operations, mobile pump operations that can be deployed to help address the tidal flooding. And a number of the cities are moving forward or are intending to advanced resiliency standards relating to stormwater systems, seawalls, and from a regional perspective, we're also just commencing the process to update other regulatory standards relating to drainage systems and finished floor elevations. We're starting to work on new flood maps that integrate sea level rise that will help to establish resiliency standards for future investments. I think that the real challenge that we have is that while there are projects that are being advanced today, we don't necessarily have consistency, and we don't have the luxury of waiting 20 years for all of the other infrastructure to catch up,
okay,
even while we're building resiliency into the landscape. So we need something accelerated.
I want to take a call. I've got Kathy in Fort Lauderdale right now. Kathy, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Kathy, tell me, what have you seen? How's this impacting you?
Since 1999, I've lived at what I've been told that is the lowest elevation in Broward County. I live at the bottom of a natural ridge that is just south of the Kinney Tunnel. And the back of my property, which is about 48 feet, backs up to what is called the Tarpon River, is to the south of the New River, which is the main thoroughfare of water that comes from the inlet. And the front of my property has a storm drain, on the street. When the tides roll in during high tide, our street, the water comes up to above my knees, and I'm a fairly
above your knees.
Yes, and for the past few years, my car, which I'm a person who keeps my car, has had thousands of dollars of damage done to it. And when I ask the repairman why this is happening, they say, "Oh, you must be driving your car on the beach, or maybe you take it up north and driving it through the snow and the salt that is on the snow."
So real quickly, only because of time, Kathy, because of this, I'm wondering, are you thinking maybe living in paradise isn't really paradise?
I've been thinking that for about 19 years.
Okay.
About 18 years ago, we did have a tide roll in that is like this, but we experienced this twice a year in March and October.
Okay.
I think this might be the worst that it's ever been.
Kathy, thank you so much for sharing. Hang in there. Hopefully it doesn't get too much worse for you. I appreciate the call. You know what? Real quickly, I'm going to finish up. Kate Stein, I'm wondering, you know, are people used to this, or have you heard anybody kind of chime in and say, all right, this isn't, I don't want to be part of this. Maybe it's time to get out.
Well, that's a pretty interesting question because being in Miami Beach and hearing from these business owners the past week, a lot of them, you know, they have these resiliency measures in place in Miami Beach, and it's something they're working on. But with these floods, especially in the past month or two, business owners have had to kind of foot the bill for that. And it sounds like Kathy is in a similar situation where she's had to pay for her car and for repairs to her car because of high water levels. So I think it's people aren't necessarily fed up with it yet. I mean, it's annoying, right? But not to the point where they're moving. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, a year, 5 years, 10 years, are people actually going to be leaving South Florida because of issues with king tides and sea level rise?
I would love to know if you are living in an area that is impacted by king tide, if you're not thinking maybe it's time to move inland or head for the mountains. I want to thank my guests, Kate Stein, WLRN reporter, Jenny Stiletovich of the Miami Herald, and Dr. Jennifer Gerardo, Broward County's Chief Climate Resiliency Officer. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us today.
Thank you.
And again, share your thoughts. If you are impacted by king tide, let us know. Again, find us on Facebook, our Facebook group, the Florida Roundup, and share your thoughts on that. Coming up next, Florida's death penalty once again put on the shelf. And why is Miami-Dade the most expensive county when it comes to holding death penalty cases? That's coming up next on the Florida Roundup here on WLRN.